Go ahead and open up to Genesis 1. I've been threatening you all my life here. You know, open up to Genesis 1. We're going to do the whole. When we get through with the Bible, we'll let you go. You know, lock the doors. I hope y'all were planning on fasting. Oh, not on Mother's Day. Okay, this won't work. Okay, we'll have to. Going down the born-again trail, I remember what the Lord said to Dave. One time Dave and another, well, I'm sure there were other times, but one time in particular, Dave and another minister were praying for this particular baby that had what we would probably call it a waterhead baby. And they had swelling on the brain, I guess. And, you know, one thing about it, when you're praying for a little baby, you sure can't blame the results on the baby's lack of faith. I mean, the baby's innocent. When you pray, if it doesn't happen, you know, now, religion has made up several excuses. And really, without saying it this way, they're really pointing the finger at God. Because they say, well, if you pray and it doesn't happen for that little innocent baby, then perhaps it wasn't God's timing. Maybe it's just not His will to heal everybody. This and that, you know. God in His sovereignty, He knows best, and perhaps He's working some greater good, you know. God, here we go. God moves in mysterious ways. Well, all that sounds good. Trouble is, you can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus says, if you want to see the Father, you got to look at me. Did you know the Bible calls Jesus the express image? The express image of the Father. That's why Jesus says, if you want to see the Father, you want to know what He's like, look at me. Well, I already did my research. I did it years ago. I did my homework assignment. I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just to find out. Because I grew up hearing all those same excuses you did. You know, well, it's not always God's will to heal. May not be His timing. Now, here's one for you. Are there some secret sin? Well, how about the case where they lowered the man down to the roof? And he said, which is easier to say? Arise and be healed and carry, you know, and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee. But that you may know. In other words, he was saying, see, that same Lord who's anointed with dominion here, that same Jesus who's made it, He's the express image of the Father. He also knows He's going to pay the penalty for that man's sins. So my judgment is he might as well be healed. I'm going to bear his sin. I'm also going to bear his sickness, carry his pain. So the only thing left is just receive this boy. Well, now, if that's the case for a man who's of age and who has sinned, how much more is it the case for an innocent baby? So we lost all of our excuses going down the born-again trail. So, again, the way Dave says that is, you know, well, the Lord asked him, says, well, what say you? I think that's, what say you, boy? Is it that I am God and I could heal that baby, but for some reason I'm just choosing not to do it? Or, here's your other choice. I could heal that baby, but for some reason I can't. Now see, that's a hard one right there. If you say can't, the religious mind starts manifesting devils. It begins flopping like a chicken on the floor. You got to go cast it out and stuff. It gets mad at you when you say God can't. But Israel only had those two choices. Either he can and is choosing not to, or for some reason he can't. Well, faced with those two choices, Dave made the right choice. And he says, I don't know that I've ever experienced God's pleasure like I did that day when I got the blame off of him because I said, Father, I have to say that you, for some reason that I don't understand, you can't. You couldn't heal that baby when I prayed. And the next question is, why couldn't you? that a good question? To even conceive the idea that God could not do something? Yeah, that's hard enough. But then to have the audacity, well then, if that's the case, and he felt God's pleasure, why couldn't you? This part hurts. But guess what? It didn't just hurt Dave. Look around at us. He says, I couldn't find enough in you to do it with. See, when truth comes like that, I don't know about you, doesn't your spirit jump on the inside when you hear that? I mean, I know it's truth, but still it doesn't help me with the baby. I mean, it's a step on the path. Thank God it's a rung on the ladder, if you'll allow me, to understanding. But see, we're not really satisfied. The litmus test is when you pray, does it happen? Because Jesus said plainly in his doctrine, if you can believe, all things are possible. Well, that's where we're contending for. Well, I heard Dave say that, and I understood little bits and pieces of it. You know, couldn't find enough in me to do it with. I've given that testimony about the time that Sue and I and Aaron was with us, and we were in New York, and we prayed for Tommy. Pastor Christy Smith and Linda went with us, and Lynn Perez and her husband Tom were there. We all prayed, and boy, I mean, we were praying with all the faith we had. Again, how Dave says, we were milking every cell in us for faith, man. we didn't go there with the idea of failing. We expected Tommy to be healed. When he didn't, felt like a sheep-eating dog on the way driving back, you know. Why? Because of your unbelief. Why? Because of your unbelief. But it feels like I'm believing. Everything in me feels like I'm believing. I wouldn't have gone over there if I didn't think it was going to happen. Boy, it sure feels like I'm believing. But see, what we call believing and what he calls believing apparently are two different things. Excuse me. Thank God for good editing in this water right here. Now, I said all that to get our mind going down this path. This is important. This is what we live for. We're coming. Yes, sir. Kuramasata. The born again trail. What was the promise? God promised Dave. He says, because then you go, well, does that leave us in this hopeless situation then? You can't find enough in us? Is there any way, anything that can be done to change what's in us so that you can do it? And the Lord says, the answer to that question and all those other questions like, the works that I do shall you do also and greater, all of those, you're going to find your answers on the born again trail. That tells me we're still on it. Now, sometimes it almost seems like we get off of it because in our understanding, sometimes you get to a certain level and you've never been on this level of understanding before, and it's a whole level. There's things here you got to understand that you've never even thought of before. You know, you ever... I saw a cartoon once and he showed this little mouse, and he had this little cartoon mouse, you know. And he had his chest swelled up like Superman. And he going, I'm big. And in the frame of the cartoon, he pretty well filled up the whole frame, so he was big. And then the next frame showed his mouse hole in the wall. And the little balloon, you know, showing his little voice coming out of the mouse hole, I'm big. Then the next frame showed like a helicopter shot above the house. And little tiny words, I'm big. Then the next shot is from outer space. You know, here's God looking down. You can't even make out the house or even the country anymore, anything, at the little tiny voice. I'm big. The Holy Spirit, yes, sir, is trying to anoint vanity like that. Who we think we are. And from heaven's point of view, there's just not a whole lot I can do with this. There's not enough image here. There's not enough substance here for me to work with. Now, if you haven't found Genesis 1, I'm concerned. I'm just a little bit concerned. Excuse me. Shouldn't eat that piece of toast right before we left the house. Hallelujah. I would say come out, but that would be ugly. Anyway. Now, I'm glad they just... See, I think the Lord's timing. This couple is just sitting down over here. I actually had them in mind this morning when the Lord was showing me what I'm about to show you. And I don't know why, but their faces, they don't even know I'm talking about them. Their faces came up before me. And it was like the Lord saying, they're going to really like this. They're going to really like this. Somebody tell them this is for them. Genesis 1:26. That's really the case. It's really true. And the timing, they're just now, you know, something caused them to be like perfect timing. What are we going to do now? Now, keep that little image of that little mouse. Because that's really the problem. I want you to notice something. I've never seen it like this, even myself, until this morning. It's almost like he will not give me time to think very much about these messages. It's like at the last minute, here, let me show you a few verses, now go. It's just amazing. He's not giving me much time. And it's because I've never really been here. But then when he gives them to me at that same time, out of these thousands of messages that he's given me over the years, and immediately he brings a whole string of them together because the library's on the inside of me. So watch this. Dominion is what we're talking about. In the case of that waterhead baby, do we have dominion over that or do we not? Is the name of Jesus over that or is it not? Then why in the world does it not happen when we pray? Now, we're not saying it never does. Again, I want you to understand, we're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. But they're sporadic. They come. I mean, you never know. So today might use Steve in the gift of healing. Tomorrow he'd try and do exactly the same thing and it wouldn't work tomorrow. But when Mark prays, the gift of healing would flow through him. It's as the Spirit wills, you know. So we're not talking about that. And actually the Lord was showing me three ways primarily that it works. One is by just the gifts of the gifts. You know, a lot of people operate just faith in the name. And especially if they themselves ever got healed of something. You know, if you got healed of something, you're just pretty doggone sure he'll do it for anybody. You know, and I think about the ones in the used mightily in the healing revivals. Now, not all of them, but we know about Kenneth Hagin, how he was healed of an incurable heart disease and several other things. We know about Oral Roberts. He was healed of tuberculosis supernaturally. Many others, you know. So just faith in the name, sometimes by the gifts. But what God is really after, he's after a maturity revival. And what I mean by that is as we, you know, the same Bible that says, as he is, so are we in this world, also says we should walk as he walked. And to me, that says we ought to have the same results he had. And we ought to be 100% of the time, not sporadically. You know, I don't think he had any unanointed days. I think that ought to be us. No unanointed days. So he was just showing me here in Genesis this morning, I go, well, what about this image? If you can't find enough on the inside of us. How does that change? Well, he began to show me, I want you to notice here the relationship between the image of God and dominion. Even in the first man, Adam. Now, these are three of the most commonly quoted verses, and you could almost quote it yourself. But let's look at them. John 1:26-28. And I want you to notice how many times the words like image and likeness are used in the same breath with dominion. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Did you ever notice that relationship? Over and over again, in God's image, in God's image. That's what separates us from all the animal kingdom. God did not create the wolf with his nature. The wolf does not have God's nature. The fish of the sea do not have. Now, they're created of his essence. Only man did he give his nature. That image. To help you understand what that word image really means, I looked it up for you. The word image is the Hebrew word tselem, which is T-S-E-L-E-M. And it means, believe it or not, to shade, a phantom, an illusion, a resemblance. Hence, a representative figure, especially, now you know, this is going to get you, an idol. So I looked it up. I was curious. I looked it up in Exodus. You know, what verse comes to mind? Thou shalt make no graven. So I looked it up to see. Exodus 20, verse 4, it's the same word. You know why he told them then not to make any graven image? Because man was fallen then. The nature had changed. See, that's the whole problem. Fallen man is always trying to make God in his image. No, God is not a homosexual either. No, God is not an alcoholic or a drug addict either. Donner just smiling over there. Am I doing good, Donner? Okay. That's why you can't look at fallen man. That's why he says to make no graven image. You can't. The whole, and see, the thing of it is, the whole creation fell. The whole creation fell. You can't take anything from this fallen world and try and make an image that would represent me. You know what God says? Don't you make any image. I'm going to send you my image. Christ is the express image. And it's the Greek equivalent of the same word. He is the only image you can look at and know what God is like. God's a healer. God's a blesser. And all things are possible if we ever get our thinking straight. How would we get it straight? We need to first off look at the image. Amen. You become like what you worship. Amen. Glory to God. That's why he said don't bow down to any fallen image. Bow down before the one I gave you. That's Jesus Christ. The more you worship him, the more you obey him, the more you fellowship with him, the more like him you become. Glory to God. And it's that life that I anoint with dominion. Getting a white hanky. I know I'm doing okay. All over the place I'm getting a white hanky. Hallelujah. One time while I was in prayer, this was years ago. Now this is what I mean by sometimes it seems like we take diversions, but we're really not. We just get to a new room and we have to explore it before we can go on. He said to me, out of the blue, back in about 97, 98, minded my own business, praying in the Holy Ghost, take almost 10 years to understand it. He just said it to me. He said, the life of Christ is the only life that has proceeded from the Father upon which I am. Look, that only Jesus can do those things. His is the only life. See, if I'd have left it like that, thank God for the born-again trail. Going down, because see, the whole mystery of the New Testament, the whole mystery of the Gospel, isn't it Colossians? I didn't look it up. Colossians 1:27. Isn't that where it is? This mystery, which I preach among the Gentiles, what is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's talk about hope for a minute. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, hope, faith is of the heart. It really is. Faith is of the heart. Hope has everything to do with what you see. For years, I couldn't understand. I'd get terminally ill people. I'd get them confessing the word. And that's hard to do. But get them confessing, by his stripes I'm healed and that type of thing, they'd still die. And I couldn't understand that because it always worked for me. I couldn't understand why they'd die. And the Holy Spirit had to teach me about hope. We're not getting really off the subject now. The Holy Spirit had to teach me about hope. He says, they don't see themselves ever getting out of that bed. Now, they've got some kind of vague, wispy, almost like a ghostly image. They'd really like to be healed. But they're not really into what the Bible calls hope. They're into wishful thinking. They're wishful thinking. See, hope has everything to do with your image. It has everything to do with what you're seeing on the inside. You have to see yourself. So now I counsel them. What did you used to do? What did you like to do before you got sick? You like to ski? You need to see yourself skiing again. Do you like to go rock climbing, mountain climbing, or whatever it is you like to do? You need to see you're going to buy you some new skiing boots. Do something. Start seeing yourself. Well, religion has painted images in our mind. You old sinner. You're not changed. You're just forgiven. Is that the way Christ? Is that the way you see Christ? Is he just an old sinner? No, we don't see him that way at all. So, but if they paint an image in you that tells you you're still the way you were before you got saved, at your core, that you're just an old sinner, you're only forgiven now, there is no possibility of you ever transforming to the same image of Christ in you. We have got to escape the gravitational pull of religion. We've got to get enough velocity to get into orbit and escape this thing. I'm telling you, religion is of the devil. You've got to understand that. Islam is not from man. It's from the devil. Confucianism, is that a word? Was probably written by somebody named Confucius. But it didn't originate really in his mind. It originated in Satan's mind. There's really only two sources. Truth and lies. The gospel is truth. All other religions are lies. Including the parts of the one that I was raised in that don't agree with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And believe it or not, I mean, they're well-intentioned people. They love God, would probably die for God. Doesn't change the fact there's only truth or lies. Okay? It's only truth or lies. Satan, who is the author of all lies? Satan is the author of all lies. So all false religion, including the false parts in the, quote, Christian world, it's worse than just originating in well-intentioned people. It originated in the mind of Satan, who is God's enemy. And it's designed on purpose to keep anybody from ever walking as he walked. Now, there is an absolute relationship. Notice here, going back to Genesis, between God's image. Notice it's only after he says, let us make man in our image, in that same likeness. Only in that one. Notice he does not give dominion again to the wolf. And aren't you glad about that? Just think if God had anointed the wolf nature with dominion. Now, what is a wolf interested in? Himself. His meal. And that's fine if that includes you. Gary, how do you know so much about the wolf nature? I used to have one. Should have seen me in those days. I'd get your money and I was good at it. And I didn't really care too much, a little bit. You know, every now and then a little wisp of conscience. You'd do your best to put that down. You know? Yeah, I know something about that wolf nature. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit isn't anointed with... I mean, that wolf nature isn't anointed with the Holy Ghost in power? You know why God didn't anoint the wolf or the fish or birds? He didn't say let them have dominion, did he? Why not? He didn't put his image in them. Now, they're created of his essence. Okay, I mean, all things were created by him and for him. But only man. This is what separates man. See, you have to be careful. I can't. No, I won't do that. Okay, I won't. I won't. Lord, I won't. He says, don't you do it. I won't do it. Okay. Okay. Hello? Boy, I about got myself in trouble. We'll stick with this. Okay. Just stick with this. The word likeness comes from the Hebrew word D-E-M-U-W-T-H. And it's so similar to the first one, image. And this one means resemblance, model, shape, like. It's like God. In the same manner. In the same similitude. Now notice in verse 26 that man is both made and created. Notice this. And God said, let us make man. That's a completely different word from when he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in the next verse, Genesis 1:27, so God created man. Two completely different words. The Holy Spirit didn't have to choose two different words. He did it on purpose to help us understand. The word created is the word bara, B-A-R-A, and it means to create from nothing. It's like there was nothing, God spoke, and there was something. Okay? That's to create from nothing. Y'all ever hear that story about the scientists who said they've gotten to where the point now they can make man? Science has gotten to the place we can make our own man. God says, well, fine, show me. So the man reaches down and scoops up some dirt. God says, hold it. Wait a minute. You go make your own dirt. Now that illustrates the difference, see? Yeah. Now the word bara means to create from nothing. There's not even any dirt. You have to start from nothing. But the other word is the one make, where he says, let us make man in our image. That's the Hebrew word asa, A-S-A. And it doesn't mean create, it means to form from something. Well, by the time God makes man, he's already created the heavens and the earth. You go all the way through Genesis 1 there. So what does he do? He takes the earth, he takes dirt, and he forms and fashions the man. See, that's he's making something from something that he's already created. But then we could read on down where he actually created the inner part. It says God breathed. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. Now, I've heard that all my whole life growing up in Sunday school, and we all formed these images of somehow that happening, But then one day again, praying in the Holy Ghost and going through the Gospel of John, actually, all where it says all things were created by Him, and without Him, nothing was created. And then it has that little pigtail. No, not one single thing. One day I was going through there, and this little image generated, this little vision generated in my spirit. Who is it talking about there? It's talking about the Word, the second member of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son who has always existed before anything was. By Him, all these things were created. And I saw this little vision. And suddenly, it wasn't just a vague idea of God breathing the breath of life into this lifeless form. It was Jesus. I saw Him come and He lifted Adam up, this lifeless form that He'd made. And it was Jesus that breathed that breath of life. And suddenly I saw it. Man was created originally in the likeness of His Son. That nature on the inside. He didn't create man with a little Jesus running around on the inside of us, okay? No. It's like when you were born the first time, you had the nature from Adam, but that doesn't mean there was a little Adam running around on the inside of you. What does it mean? It means you had His nature, that fallen nature from Adam. It was selfish and thinks about itself all the time. That's the nature. Well, God didn't originally make man like that. He made man with the same nature as the second member of the Godhead. Man was originally made in the image of God's Son. That's why God says He made this decision, Romans 8, about 28 or 29. He says, you don't have to turn there. He says, God made this decision. He will not change it. He is determined that all who believe will be changed into the image of His Son. See, it's the exact opposite of religion. Religion keeps telling you you're still just an old sinner. Say, hey, listen, I know we were sinners. We had that old nature. Thank God we got saved by grace. But religion wants you to think you're still just an old sinner. That the only difference now is you're forgiven. That's the exact opposite of the gospel. That is the exact opposite. God is saying, no, I don't. I mean, that's Old Testament salvation. That's all I could do in the Old Testament. He says, I have made this decision. And really, He made it from the garden on. He says, I'm going to provide a path of forgiveness, all right. My Son is going to become the Lamb who's going to die for Him. I don't want you just forgiven and unchanged. I want you back the way I originally made you. Conformed to the image of His Son. Then I began to see it. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Father said to Pastor Dave, I couldn't find enough in you to do it with. And I'm beginning to get little inklings now. He's talking about that image of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That would be changed into that same image from glory to glory. I said, Father, help me understand this. He said, well, look at the temptation in the wilderness. Y'all know it by heart. We don't have to turn there. The first Adam fell when he was tempted. The last Adam, he had to overcome where the first Adam failed. Well, let's see how the enemy tempted. What was the first temptation? Command that these stones be made bread. What a self-serving command that would be. Something to provide, something to satisfy my hunger. Something getting Jesus looking, using His anointing and using His gifting for something that would satisfy Himself. See, that appeals to us because we're coming out of that mentality of the old fallen nature. Now, in our spirit, it's already been done. How many of you know we're going through a what the Bible calls a renewing of the mind? See, 33 years before I got saved, I was programmed by two things, a death nature and a fallen world. That's a lot of programming in the wrong direction. 33 years, I was programmed by a sin nature and a fallen world telling me that this is how it is. Get saved, get born again, receive a new nature that has the capacity to be taught about the things of God. But then go many, many years even then without really knowing how to release that anointing of the teacher. Till 1992, and we started hearing these messages by Pastor Dave, that the more time you spend praying in the Holy Ghost, the more He begins teaching you these very things that are opposite to what the world taught you. See, the world tells you, if you get cancer, most likely you're going to die. Jesus says, I have a different doctrine for you. I have a different message for you. I'm from the realm of reality, and I'm bringing you truth from that realm. If you can believe, you don't have to die of that cancer. Guess what? If you was born blind, you don't have to stay blind. Yeah, but I lost my leg in a wreck. You don't have to stay legless. Because even the maimed can be made whole. Now don't tell me that's not going to take some reprogramming, Rudy. Rudy, that's going to take some reprogramming. And I mean intensive. Because, you know why? Because we're still living in this fallen world and all of our senses are telling us what can't happen. I mean, it's going to take some intensive training, retraining by the Holy Ghost. Allowing Him to bring us over into that realm where all things are possible. And at the same time, though, it's not just an intellectual renewal, it's a spiritual transformation. I think for the most, oh God, you didn't have to show me that. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Hang on. I got to make sure that He's not just getting on me. You know that little cartoon I told you about, the mouse? I just saw it again. This time my hand was sticking out of the mouse hole. And I was going, be healed. Oh my God. That's what He's saying. I can't find enough in you. Boy, He has His way, doesn't He? I can't be healed. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I have an international ministry? I'm big. Be healed.
Now I can imagine now approaching certain devils.
Come out.
How did Dave say that one time about devils? He says, command that devil to come out. And he just laughs and he goes, no, no, no. You command me to come out when you quit lying.
Be healed. I just saw it. That's what He's talking about. I couldn't find enough in you to do it with. Not enough transformation. Not enough yet of Christ in us. See, God wasn't intending that whoever planted a seed, this is another thing He taught me one time. He says, whoever planted a seed that grew a plant, and you water it and you tend it and you feed it miracle grow and you do all of that stuff. And the end result of this beautiful plant, when it finally grows up, it opens up and it produces just one seed. So if you planted that seed again, you get one seed. He said, have you ever seen a plant like that? And I went, no. And then He said, then you never will, because it's not my plan. What did Jesus say? Now at that moment, He's the only seed. He is the only life. He is the only human walking the planet with the life of God, that life that the Holy Spirit anoints with dominion. He's the only one. Yet He says, I could stay. I choose whether I lay my life down, I could stay. But if I stay, I'm only one. But if the seed falls into the ground and die, then it's going to produce plants that produce many seeds. It's greatly multiplied. God didn't want just one son anointed by the Holy Ghost. He wants the whole species to be sons of God in the image of Christ, anointed, that same life multiplied in us, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. See that image on the inside that He originally breathed into Adam? Was perfect. It was, when I saw that vision of Christ breathing, it was easier for my mind to understand how that first Adam, yes sir, we'll go through the other two, how that first Adam, the life. See, I don't know if we're physically made in the image of God. I don't know. I don't know if God has, well, He does have hands. We know certain, yeah, we do know certain things. He has eyes and so forth. But the part that's really made in the likeness of God is the part that came in. This is the part where He created from nothing. There was no spirit in Adam. And then there was. But it came from the inside of the second member of the Godhead. And when Adam took his first breath, his nature was the same as the Son of the living God. A nature of holiness, a nature of righteousness, a nature of all things are possible. Think about that. Now, what He reminded me of just now, He says, go through the other two temptations in the wilderness. See the first one? Command that these stones be made bread. The whole motivation there is to get your needs met. Use my anointing and spend your life getting your needs met. All right, the second one. And I don't know. Let's take the one where He went up on the temple. He says, go up on the temple, throw yourself down. Because doesn't the Word say that these angels, they'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone? Now, there's a lot of ways you can look at that. But trying to look at it in the perspective from Adam's point of view, you got to remember there was no other people when Adam was in the garden, the first one. So when I'd read about this one, and there is something to it in our generation, when He was tempting the second Adam, He's trying to make him look to be somebody among the people. Because if anybody could jump off the temple and survive and not even be harmed, then the people would think, oh, you're quite something. But see, that won't fit the first Adam. So I'm going, what? How does this relate to how you tempted the first one? Taking God's word and make it mean something different from what God really said. And isn't that exactly what Satan did with Eve? Has God said? That's exactly the same temptation that He does with all of us. Has God said? Yeah, God's word says, by His stripes I was healed. Really? Feel your pain. Feel it. Compare. Did God really say that? And here comes all the theologians to convince you that He didn't. Or most of them. So, the second temptation is using God's own words, getting you to act in a manner that's not consistent with what God has said. Boy, Jesus, He refused that one too. Then here comes the biggie. I mean, did not... And this one twists your motivations. He comes at you. If there's anything in you, any handle in you, well, did not you come to for the whole world? Just bow down before me. And look, it's all been delivered to me. Look, you know, took Him up to that high mountain and showed Him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, you know. And He says, just bow down before, just do it my way. Just do it my way. And you'll have what you came for. All the kingdoms of the world and all the glory. And you won't have to go through any pain. You won't have to go through any suffering, the easy way. All of this would appeal to self. Not having to go through the sacrifice, not having to go through the pain, not having to go through the agony. All of this would appeal. Satan is looking for any handle he can find. He's searching the nature of this last Adam. He's searching that nature to see if he can find anything in there that he can get his finger in and change the direction, the motivation, the purpose of this last man, Adam. And he finds nothing in there. To help me understand it better, I was praying about it, and the Lord says, well, notice this. This just helps you understand. Did you notice that the devil never tempted him going, obey me and I'll help you accomplish the Father's will? That would be the exact opposite. See? No. It's all about self. All about self. And I have found, even as I've gone through these years, doing my, you know, I started to say doing my best to do the message. Feebly attempting to do this message like you are. Falling in and out of prayer, getting back up, slapping yourself across the face, getting back in again, you know, turning off the TV, getting the Bible out, you know. No, I have found myself even during this, but there's a transformation going. There's a transformation coming, especially, I mean, and he'll tempt you in all those areas, especially in the realm of money. Anyone ever get tempted in the realm of money? Compromise just a little. Just do it my way just a little. Don't matter what God said to you. Do what I say. Just a little bit. I'm not standing in front of you for any particular reason. If you sit here, I'm going to walk in front of you. What can I say? Nobody's sitting by Rachel. They've learned. They don't sit by Rachel. Well, he's searching for any part of you. And in the beginning, of course. You know, it's a transformation process. How we, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image, but it's from glory to glory. In other words, boy, don't you wish it was instantaneous? Now, the Lord hasn't shown me yet why it's not, but I'm sure there's a reason. Okay, yeah, that's part of the reason. He wants it to be your choice, your hunger. You can be as changed as you want to be. That's a different way of saying what Dave says all the time. The path into it is just as direct as the miracle itself. And you can have it if you want it. Question is, how bad do you want it? And that's why Smith Wigglesworth said the best thing you can pray for anybody is hunger. Hunger for the things of God. Hunger to be changed. Hunger to be in that same image. But boy, I recognize those temptations. People that are called to gospel entrepreneurship, what normally gets them? If they stay in long enough to get any anointing at all to get the money, as soon as they start getting any of it, doesn't take very long. Normally, the money then gets them. Why? Handles. Handles. Still things on the inside that are not yet conformed to the image of Christ. Satan couldn't find anything in Christ. He couldn't find anything. Right? You know, we've been going through John 14, 15, 16, 17. To a large degree, I know the answers are right there. Always have been. And as they're getting up from the supper table to go out to the olives, the garden, he says, Satan comes. I'm not going to be speaking much more with you. The prince of this world cometh. But he has nothing in me. He's not going to find any handles. One time I was asking the Lord about that, and I saw, this was before the Passion of the Christ ever came out, but I knew it was ugly. I knew what he went through was really bad. You think he wasn't tempted on that cross? You think his flesh didn't feel the pain? And you know, he even said to him, you know, I could ask my Father, and he would send, 12 legions of angels? What's he talking about? Hey, if I just ask my Father, he'll get me down off of this cross. And boy, if there was any handle left in Jesus, if there was any self, anything left of my will instead of the Father's, boy, he'd have been off that cross. He'd have been off of it. Now, the good news of the gospel is this. Yes, sir. I know I've already been quoting it, but it's good to see it with your eyes. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18. See, because I know that had to hurt. It hurt me as much as, I think, as much as it hurt Dave, just to hear the report when God said to Dave, like, I couldn't find enough in you. I couldn't find enough in you to do it with. Well, I'm remembering Tommy and all the others. I mean, we thank God. Sue and I have seen miracles. We've seen God heal cancers. We've seen all kinds of wonderful things. Dave has too. But your heart is for, what about the ones that didn't get healed? See? So it hurt me when I said, God, well, I know it's the same thing. I know it's the same thing. You can't find enough in me. Too much mouse, not enough him. Too much mouse, too much Gary. But see, the good news is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that means the mirror, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Now remember where we started. Let us make man in our image. In the very next breath, and let him have dominion. What we have called revival, thank God for the healing revivals in the 40s and the 50s, and thank God for the outpouring and what we call the charismatic renewal that's gone on, where the gifts of the Spirit are more known and people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I got to tell you, most of what the church, even the church world, has seen, even through the biggest ministries in the land, still has pretty much been by the gifts. It's still pretty much, or they got healed, or something happened in them, and so now they have faith in the name or something. But we've hardly seen, if we've seen very much at all, of this, it's hard to put it in words. Where people have that same, how many people you know that would have to just have the boldness to say, for me to live is Christ. We've not seen. We're about to see it. We're about to come out of our mouse holes. Christ in us is going to get too big to stay hidden in the wall. We're about to come out of our mouse holes and say, I'm nothing. I must decrease. Christ in me must increase. That means I've got to spend time with the Holy Spirit, because only He can make that change. See, that's what we're looking in here. He says, we are changed into that same image. None diminished. Same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Only the Holy Ghost can do this. And He can only work with that new nature more and more. You know, Dave just says things in a sentence, you know, and it takes you 5 years to pray out the meaning of that. You know? And then when you get it, you're all excited. He goes, you're trying to share it with him, and he goes, I've been preaching that to you for 5 years. But see, it's not really real until I get it. It's not real in me till I get it. I'm happy for you, Dave, but I just now got this. You know, and I'm excited. I got to tell everybody. You mean it's, let's talk about the gospel just for a minute. You mean I don't have to stay the way I am? You mean it can come to the place where not only that particular waterhead baby would get healed, but you mean all of them would get healed every time, without exception? Because you'd already know that it's not your Father's will that one of them not be healed. But He'll find enough in you now to do it with. This can't be done by human effort. This can't even be done by human understanding. This has to be done by supernatural transformation. More and more I'm understanding the phrase I started to say a while ago. The only person that can do this transforming work is the Holy Ghost. And the only thing He has to work with is that new nature on the inside of you. That's it. He said that many years ago, the first time He said that. And only now is it really, really exploding. I'm going, oh my God. I believe in going to studying. I believe in reading the Word. I believe in, you know, it'd be okay to go to a Bible college, I guess. But whether you do or don't do those things, I'm telling you now, I see it. I'm seeing what He's... The only thing the Holy Spirit has to work with is that new nature. And the primary way that He gets a hold of that new nature is when we yield over to Him in worshiping the Lord, praying in the Holy Ghost, spending time with Him. If man can do this, if man could have done this, it would have already been done. There's a lot of people that's died for the gospel. Human effort is not going to do this. Human willpower is not going to do this. Only the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit. Let me read it one more time. How does that transformation happen? We are changed into that same, say it out loud, same image. I am recreating my son. The same image I originally made man with. And the same Holy Spirit that anointed that life then, He anoints that life now, wherever He finds it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah.